Welcome to my house tonight. Come on into my office and let's just talk about the Lord for a little bit and talk about this season and this time that we're in. I want to thank you all so much for being with me tonight, for joining us. Let me tell you right up front, please go get your Bible and because I want you to follow along. I'm just going to do a little expository teaching tonight right from the Word of God. I looked at my books today. And you know what? I counted my books that I have out. I have almost 1,000 books, 996 books that I have out in this office and in the room next door. But I look at these books and you know what? They're kind of obsolete right now. Even all the writers, I mean, when you look at any of them, it's not up to date because of where we are today. So I thought, dear Jesus, what do you say about this season and time that we're in? Because everybody has something to say. And you know what? The Holy Spirit led me right over here to this chapter this morning in my devotional time. So I want you to come with me. So please, please, please get your Bibles or your phone and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Before we go there, I do want to pray. Diana, those of you of the Landmark family know Diana, Peggy, Hatfield's sister. She fell and broke her hip. So we need to pray for Diana. And we prayed last evening, but she's in the hospital alone, of course, during this time. And she just really needs a touch of God on her life. And I know there's others that are having some emotional stress, some loss. You know, you've had some losses and the kids are having their own crisis for school. And so we just got some things to pray about. Can we just do that right now? Wonderful Jesus, we want to thank you, first of all, that we have somewhere to go in time of need. We have somewhere to go all the time with you. You're always available to us. But Lord, now we want to lift up our sister. You said pray for those, especially those of the household of faith. So we want to lift up Diana to you tonight. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in her hip. Give the doctors wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that they will be able to treat her with a treatment that's exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. I pray, Lord, you'll anoint the nurses to treat her like a king's kid because that's who she is. So we bless you, Diana, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I bless Larry tonight that has the bed sores or chair sores. May those begin to heal from the inside out. The one that we know, the lady with the emotional upset right now, Lord, I pray that you'll comfort her mind right now where she is in Jesus' name. So, Father, we pray that you'll give help to our children. Lord, those that are Zooming, to our high school students. Lord, to those in college, we bless our students. We love our youth. And we just give you praise, Father, for what you're doing in our lives and in our church this very day. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, you guys, thank you so much for giving, continuing to send in your tithe and your offering. Dee and I both have our offerings right here for tonight. And I was thinking today of the verse in Malachi chapter 3, and I really felt like somebody needed this tonight because, you know, when it says, if you prove me, saith the Lord, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And he was talking about giving and tithes and offering. And when we see that word that he says, I will pour out blessings, we think, ooh, that's, you know, material blessings and money and, you know, all the blessings and healings and things I could get. But you know what? It means another word in the Hebrew, and it means closure. Blessings means closure. And so if you need closure, whatever you're giving, there's times on Sunday I give with a different expectancy when I plant my seed at certain times. I might, you know, I have a need of this. And I'll say, Lord, I'm giving, I'm going to put this expectancy on the seed. So tonight, I just felt to tell somebody that if you need closure to something, remember that when you give, you have the promise not only of blessing, but blessing also means closure. So the Lord bless you with that, and you just get closure real quick to whatever it is you have need of in the name of Jesus. Well, you ready to get into the Word? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, And we want to talk about this. I'm going to give you a title that's kind of funny. It's three words. It's they and you. I could have called it they and us, but I'll make it a little more personal. They and you. So let's look at Paul's writings here. It's just so relevant to where we are today. Chapter 5, verse 1, I'm going to start reading right here. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I'll just stop right there, and we'll go back and just kind of decipher this and pull the meat out of it and maybe bring a little knowledge to it. In fact, if you have a pen or a pencil in your word, I want you to underline or circle every time you see the word they and every time you see the word us, okay? So, or you or us, circle that. And then circle every time you see the word they. And then you'll understand why I'm just simply going to call this they and you. Now, Paul is talking here about the rapture of the church. And many times in the New Testament, when somebody is addressing the rapture of the church, which means caught up, somebody said, well, rapture is not the Bible. No, the word rapture isn't, but to be caught up means to be raptured or caught up to the presence of the Lord. But it's also called the day of the Lord. A lot of the writers called it the day of the Lord. And in fact, Paul does right here in the second verse. But I think as I look at this and read Paul's writings, one of his favorite words to call us was brethren. He loved to call the church brethren. When Paul talks about the church, I love it that he talks about it as though it is a family. And you know what? The church is a family. Just like a kids, just like young people or children, they love family. There's just something about that family unit. And if they don't have a healthy family, they love to go to a place where there is a healthy family. And if they don't have friends that's a healthy family, then they like to see a healthy family on TV. So I just want to say, as important as a family is to a child to sit down at the dinner table with a family or come home to mom and dad who loves them, or a dad that can lead the child this way, endorsement of their parents and the appreciation of the parents, there's just something special about family. And I think that's why Paul addresses the church and these people as a family 66 times. One of the theologians said 66 times he calls us brethren, or he calls these people he's addressing brethren. So he said, now brethren, he is talking to the church right here. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. He said, you don't need this because you already know what time you're in. See, Jesus had taught them. Jesus had already taught this. Paul had addressed it. The apostles talked about Jesus's return. Even Jesus talked about his return before he left. He kept telling them, I'm going to go away, but I will return for you. And so they talk about that. And Jesus told them in Matthew 24, 2 Timothy, the third chapter, Luke 21, 25, he talked to them all about his coming and the signs of the time and what it was going to look like before he came back. He said, there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, there will be devastation, there will be pandemics, there will be earthquakes. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, they'll be boasters, they will be proud. He talked about children turning against the parents, and you would be unholy and an unthankful generation. All kinds of things that they knew when they saw these things coming upon the earth, that it would be time for the day of the Lord or the coming of the Lord. So Paul said, you guys don't really, you know, have need that I should write this to you. In verse 2, he says, for you, there it is, circle it, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know that. Because some are going to be looking for his coming and others aren't. But you know better because you're looking for him. You're expecting him to come. But he said, here's one sign that I want you all to understand. For when they say, see, those that are of the world, circle that word they, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, not us. Now remember who you are. I know the world's a mess, but you're not. You say, no, I'm a mess. No, you aren't. And I'll show you in just a moment. They're in a mess. You're not. Because he said, but they will say peace and safety, and sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they, not us, they shall not escape. Just like they did not escape the flood. It didn't happen. There were some, Noah and his family and his sons' wives, they got on the boat and they were safe in the ark. Just like we are today. If we are living in Jesus, we're safe. Those on the outside are not. So he said, they will not escape. But I do want to point something out to you in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12:25 says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? So he said, hey, these guys didn't escape and they were on earth, but how much more shall we not escape if he speaks from heaven through his Holy Spirit and we ignore him? This is not time to ignore the Lord. Listen, you may have lived your life however you wanted to live it. This is not the time to do that. I don't want you to be in the group of they. I want you to be a you or an us. And you'll see why right here. He said they're not going to escape it because now you're going to see these things coming like a pregnant woman getting ready to have a baby. These birth pains, they hit hard. And at the end of time, before that woman has that little baby, those pains come closer and closer together, and they get harder and harder. The contractions are harder and harder. And pretty soon, ladies, you know how it is. The birth pains start out 10 minutes apart, then 8 minutes, and then go down to 5 minutes apart. The other day, one of our girls was having a baby, and they said, oh, they're 5 minutes apart. And I thought, oh, my goodness, she's got a long ways to go. You know, and then it can be 3 minutes. Well, they can stay 1 minute apart for quite a while. But then they start coming closer together. And pretty soon, those contractions are lasting longer, and they're just running right into each other. And that's kind of the way it's becoming right now. These birth pangs, the earth is convulsing, and now these pains are coming closer and closer together. So there's a lot more to come, you guys. There's more to come. But Paul's writing said, but you guys aren't shocked by this. He said, I don't really have to write this for your sake, but I'm going to write it for them. And then he addresses us to share these things. So this is why I just wanted to talk about this tonight, because it's really very, very important. Verse 4, I love this because he's going to talk to you and me now. He says, but you, circle it, remember that, but you, brethren, the church, the family of God, but you, brethren, you're not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. I love that. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So, yes, the world's a mess, but he said, but you, brethren, You are not in darkness. You're like, what? Oh, yes, we are. No, the world might be dark, but you and I are not in darkness. And how can we say that? Because he said, brethren, you are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You, listen to this, circle the you, verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night and nor of the darkness. So what are we, church? We are light. We are of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light, and we live in the light, and the light lives in us. So he said, you are all the sons of light and sons of the day. Not, we are not sons of the night. We are not sons of darkness. We are all sons of the daylight and of, and of the day, of the sun and the day. Therefore, now we've got to get this. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Us, circle that us. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now that sober's a big word, and watch is a big word. But he said, you brethren, please catch this. Do not sleep. Now, we're not talking about physical sleep. We need that for our bodies. Every single night, we need a few hours of sleep. But he said, now, therefore, let us not sleep. That means don't let us casually fall asleep spiritually. If you feel yourself getting spiritually weak, or you're not interested in the things of God anymore, if I were you, I would get to church. Okay, I would get to a place where you can meet with God. Okay, if you start going out like a lone ranger on your own, you're going to fall asleep. And he said, do not fall asleep. You watch and you be sober. Watch for what? Watch for what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your heart and to your mind. The Holy Spirit now is always speaking to us. And he spoke to me very clearly two mornings ago and said, my people know me, but they ignore me. Would you tell them to listen to me? And sometimes we get so caught up expecting to hear the, wanting to hear the voice of God and thinking, well, he never speaks to me. Well, he told me he's speaking, but he says we ignore him. Now, don't ignore him. After you've done all your praying and all your talking, when you meet alone with him, just be quiet. Just don't say a word and say, Holy Spirit, please forgive me for doing all the talking. I just want to sit here and hear what you say. And then just let your mind meditate on him and use that. I'm telling you, it will wake you up. But he said, whatever you do, brethren and sisters, do not fall asleep. Now you be watching to hear his voice. You be looking for his coming. You look into his word to see what he would say to you through his word. But then he says the big word, you all watch and be sober. What is he saying? You know what sober means. It means not to be intoxicated. And so Paul is telling the brethren and the church, he's saying, don't be intoxicated with anyone. Don't get intoxicated with friends. Don't get intoxicated with your phone, by social media. Don't get intoxicated by entertainment and or drugs or alcohol. People can get codependent on people, on my friend, on my wife, on my husband, on my boyfriend, my girlfriend, whatever it is. Paul said, do not be intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, it takes over your mind. It has control of your mind. So Paul is saying, be sober. Now, I remember many times seeing a drunk come to the altar of the Lord, and they were just totally drunk on something, totally intoxicated. I mean, you can smell a person who's drunk. You can smell them coming. And they would get to that altar, and when they truly repented, I mean, they would sober up like that. It was just a total miracle to see them get sober from the intoxication. But that can happen to you too tonight. You know, you'll put off a smell. You'll put off a fragrance, the Bible says, of who you are inside. So that's what they do. But he said that's not what you do, because you're sober and you watch, and you're not asleep. Okay, you're not sleeping, you're awake. He said, all of you are the sons of God. You're of the day, and you're of the light. All right, so let's talk about them for a moment. Okay, so that's us. That's who we are. But verse 7 says, but those, circle the word those who sleep, they sleep at night. And those who get drunk, they're drunk at night. What night? What night are you talking about? Of course they sleep at night. Well, when he says they sleep at night, see, nighttime, spiritually speaking, is a dark time. He said they get drunk at night. Now, let me say this to you, and I can say this by experience. All of us can know of a time when it was dark in our lives, and you had a tendency maybe to have a little depression come at you, or oppression when it was night. But when people are of the they, of the world, many times they have come in to talk to me with counseling, and I'm sure you've talked to your friends as well. And when things are not good in their life, when it's a nighttime, when maybe their marriage is messed up or they're broke, they lost their job, things aren't going well in their life, or they've lost a loved one, they don't know where to turn, what to do, it's nighttime. And so it says at nighttime is when they get drunk. They get drunk at nighttime. And I've heard them say, I just didn't know what to do. I was so hurt, Pastor. I just wanted to go get drunk. And some did. I just wanted to go get drunk. I wanted to go back to my old ways. I wanted to go back to my ex, even though I knew he wasn't good for me. I wanted to go smoke a joint. Did you? Well, no, I didn't. I said, okay, well, that's good. Let's pray. But others did. Some did, some didn't. But he said, that's when you have a tendency to want to get drunk or get intoxicated or run to that person or run away or go have a sexual experience or whatever. He said you'll want to do that at night when things are not good in your life. Or they that sleep, they sleep at night. And so that's when you get lethargic, spiritually speaking, is at night. Okay, so don't be playing the pity party and feeling sorry for yourself and I don't know what to do. This pandemic is driving me up the wall and you know I need something to make me feel right. Well, Jesus said we are people of the day, so know who you are. Watch in God's word. Go to church with your church family. Get family time with the church. You got family time at home, but get family time at church. Get family time in the Word. Get time with Jesus, your Heavenly Father, your Savior, and let Him begin to take care of you. Man, there's so many promises here. I don't even know where to go. This is why I didn't make any notes. I'm just going to take it right from the Word because this is so full. I'm going to show you verse 8. But let us, now let's go back and talk about us for a minute. He says, that's what they do when it's nighttime. That's what they do. They get drunk when it's the darkest or at nighttime. But us, verse 8, us who are of the day, be sober. Now he's repeating that again. You're of the daytime, spiritually speaking. So be sober, and you put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So Jesus said for you guys, or Paul was telling us, Jesus didn't leave us without. Okay, he gave us a breastplate, and you can put this breastplate over your heart to have faith to do what you have to do. Faith, he said, for those who believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So have faith in God, faith in who he is. He said, I will reward you with blessing. I'll reward you with me. So he's given every single man and every single woman who knows him a measure of faith. Faith is not hard. And then he said, so I've given you this breastplate of faith and love. It's an uncommon faith, folks. It's uncommon. It's not a common faith. It isn't faith in faith. It's simply faith in God. It's not even faith in you. I think sometimes people get discouraged because people will put our faith in ourselves. And listen, you better not do that. That will get you in big trouble. You don't put your faith in your pastor. You put your faith in the Word of God. You put your faith in Him, in Christ Jesus. Okay, so He said, I've given you a measure of faith and love. So I've given you uncommon love. Now, people on this earth, even our mothers and fathers, I think mothers get as close to a unconditional love as anyone in the world or anyone I know besides Jesus. But Jesus has an uncommon, unconditional love. It doesn't matter what you've done, when you did it, who you did it to. Jesus says, no, I've given you a breastplate of faith and uncommon love to go over your heart, to protect your heart, your inner man, to take care of your inside. You say, I'm just a nervous wreck. I'm emotional. No, you've got this shield. You've got this breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, why does a football player wear a helmet on his head? He wears the helmet when they play football to protect his brain, to protect his head. And Jesus knew that not only would we need faith and we would need love, but He knew that we were going to need protection over our minds. And in Philippians, it says that He will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And if we want our heart and mind to be kept, we've got to keep it stayed on Him. So He said, you've got hope. Now, in the Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. So do not allow yourself to lose your hope. Because hope, if you put it off, it's going to make your heart sick. So get it back up here in Jesus. Now, I do want to say this. We've got all those things to help us stay in the light and end the day. Verse 9 says, you say, well, Pastor, he's talking about the rapture of the church and he's encouraging these people that they're going to make it. And then he tells them that they're not going to be able to escape it. Now, how do we know that we're going to go up with Christ and we're not going to be left here? How do we know we're not going to go through the rapture or through the tribulation period? Well, you are not going through the tribulation period if Jesus is with you, if you've given your heart to Him, if you are born again. We can safely say, now I know there's some people that believe in mid-trib and post-trib, but we believe in pre-trib. We're going up before the rapture of the church. Why would Christ let before He came back for her? He says, I'm coming for a bride without spot and without wrinkle. He loves us. He wouldn't have given us that faith, hope, love, helmet, all the armor, all the things He's given to us, plus His Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the answer. How do we know it's going to be that we're going to be taken out of here before we see the Antichrist and before the tribulation period, before that miserable 7 years? Well, verse 9 tells us, for God did not appoint us to wrath, to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with Him. So, what? He did not appoint us to wrath. He appointed us to obtain salvation. Now, if you're one of them and you're not serving the Lord, you can come over here with us. You can obtain salvation. The Bible says Jesus died to make sure that whether you wake or sleep, you could live together with Him. Woo, church, I am so happy that we can live together with Jesus, whether it's light or darkness. It doesn't matter. He is always with us. And then He told me, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. So I want to edify you with this and bless you and exhort you, brothers and sisters, to stay close to Jesus and be encouraged. And I am going to read verse 23 in closing. Verse 23 through 28. Now may the God of peace Himself, listen, sanctify, that means to set you apart, sanctify you completely, not halfway, but sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, and soul and body. All of it. Somebody said, well, my spirit's saved, but my flesh isn't. My body isn't. No, he just said, I will preserve you, spirit, soul, and body. May you be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Everything we've just read. Brethren, pray for us. Read all the brethren with a holy kiss. You can't do that right now, so don't do that. But I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. That's why I'm reading it to you tonight, holy brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So bless the Lord. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be going with the Lord very soon. We see all these signs around us. Now, he's not going to be a thief to us, but I don't want him to be a thief to some other people in the family or friends, you know, or people you work with. So why don't you come in? You can obtain this with us. You're either going to be they or you're going to be us. They or you, which do you choose? Now, Father, we pray tonight that those that don't know you will be able to come in, Lord, and begin to serve you and take you as Lord, to bring them out of that darkness into light. Lord, even the brothers and sisters tonight that may not be sober, maybe they're real sleepy in the spirit, I pray for the awakening that would wake us up this night, Lord. Wake us up and shake us. There's a shaking going on. Don't let us waste this time. But Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring them out of darkness and into your marvelous light. A translation, Lord. Translate them, Lord, from the kingdom of darkness or from darkness into the kingdom of light. So, Lord, we give you praise. Make us all a witness, Lord, to be a witness to all we see, to bring as many in as we can into the ark of safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. See you Sunday morning. God bless. I love you.